Good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are. Hello, hello. Welcome on in to Rumor and Innuendo for Monday, April 1st. I'm not Dominic D'Angelo. He's on assignment. I'm Zach Haydorn. So pumped to be here filling in. I'm with Robert. Robert, what's up, man? Welcome to your show. This is your show. I'm invading.
Hey, guys. Welcome. Look, I'm just thrilled to be back. I was away last week, Thursday and Friday. Appreciate the D'Angelo boys for filling in. Give or take a little bit of profanity from there, but we're going to keep it clean for this first show in April. It's April 1st, April Fool's Day, but I promise you guys, Dom will be back tomorrow. And let's say hello to a couple of the folks watching us in the chat. We got Joseph Wade Walters. Morning, gentlemen. Happy Mania week now that Smarch is officially over. Rick Smith pointing out 5 seconds without an F-bomb. That's right. That's right, Rick. We're getting the F out because, you know, we are streaming on YouTube. And we don't want those folks to tag us. And, of course, Jim Broderick, happy Monday, all. Any Billy in the CW news today? Jim, I can guarantee with 100% certainty we are getting to Billy in the CW news today. Tune in. It's going to happen. But, Zach, got a lot of stuff to talk about. What do we got on tap?
Oh, man, we got a big show. Big show. It's WrestleMania week. But we're also going to talk a little non-WrestleMania news. So we'll talk Nick Nemeth. He made a big reveal as to why he didn't sign with AEW. So we're going to hit that. We're going to talk about CM Punk making some WrestleMania predictions and picks. Matt Cardona and Ricky Starks in AEW. We'll talk about that appearance from over the weekend and the unfortunate injury to Ricky Starks. We'll talk about Cody and announcing to the world that he's re-signed with WWE. And we'll also talk a little bit more about SmackDown and preview tonight's Monday Night Raw, which should be very newsworthy. Given the fact that both Roman Reigns and The Rock are on the show. So lots and lots of topics there to get to.
So before we get into all the rumor and innuendo, give us 20 seconds. Introduce yourself to the rumor and innuendo universe here, Zach. Who are you? Why are we listening to you?
I appreciate that. I'm Zach Haydorn, guys. I'm super pumped to be here. Former assistant editor of PW Torch and SC Scoops. Now running my own shop called Brass Ring Media. You guys can follow us on Twitter at @BrassRing_media for all the stuff that we do on a day-to-day basis. But, you know, here, look, I'm like you guys, though, too. I'm a wrestling fan. I've been watching wrestling for 30-odd years. Pumped to be able to sit here and chat about it with you. So definitely appreciate it.
Love it. Then let's get down to it. Where you're driving the bus here, man. Where are we starting?
I'm driving the bus. I want to start with SmackDown. Let's talk SmackDown a little bit. And we didn't get a lot on SmackDown as far as follow-up to like the big WrestleMania main events, but there still were some big things that came up. The first one being Jade Cargill. Jade Cargill officially signs with SmackDown and Nick Aldis. She's joining Bianca Belair and Naomi to face Damage Control at WrestleMania. It's her first WrestleMania and really her first, you know, official spot on the main roster. It was in bright lights. What'd you think of her introduction? What do you think of her presentation? What did you think of her, you know, as the superstar that they present her as right now?
So when we talked about Jade's debut a week ago on the show, and we said, how do we think the best way to use her? I said, I thought they were going to find a way to insert her into this Damage Control situation. If you were hell-bent on putting her on WrestleMania and having her have her first sort of official match outside of the Royal Rumble, it needed to be in a tag situation and it needed to be an immediate impact. It found a way to make the Bianca Belair Naomi team make a lot more sense. It's giving the girls with Damage Control something to do. But when Jade Cargill went out there, from the minute they put that silhouette and the spotlight on her, she looked like a main roster superstar. Her promo skills were never going to be her strong suit. They tried to minimize that as best they can, in the same way they're going to minimize her in-ring impact at Mania. They're not going to ask her to do a lot of heavy lifting. She was able to hit her finishing move on Kairi Sane. It looked impressive. The licking of her hand after the presentation on SmackDown, she looked like a top tier main event star. That's an absolute home run. And it's one of those things where if you're Tony Khan and you're watching this, you got to be frustrated.
Oh man, for sure. For sure. I mean, what I like about what they did here is they totally emphasized what Cargill does well. And that is present as a big time star, look the part of a big time star. The rest is going to come. The in-ring work's going to come. The promo chops are going to come. But for right now, you want to lean into what she does good. You want to emphasize like what's great about her. And that's, I think, exactly what they've dropped her into here at WrestleMania. As you mentioned, in that match, she's not going to be asked to do a lot, but she's going to be on the card. The entrance, I'm sure, is going to be there. She's going to continue to look like a star. And it's really, in a lot of ways, a perfect integration for her because she can do all of those things, but she doesn't have the responsibility that comes along with a top-tier star like that where, you know, you have to deliver like a 20-minute match. They're not asking her to do that right now. And so I think this is smart. I think it's smart to kind of put her on the slow burn track. Obviously, this time next year, you're going to want to see her in something more significant and in a bigger role. But for right now, first WrestleMania, with so much going on around her with The Rock and Cody and Roman and, you know, and Drew and Punk around, like, she doesn't have to be like the sole star carrying everything. And I think this is a good recognition of that and a smart way to use somebody that you're trying to protect at the same time.
And she came across as the big deal coming out of this week's SmackDown. They've sort of already set the table for everything that we want to see going into WrestleMania. So for right now, you didn't need Cody or Seth or Roman or The Rock on that episode. That little mention with the bloodline, that little needle drop of Heyman trying to say everything you saw that happened on Raw was because of Roman, which he said without Roman there and without The Rock there, is all the intrigue you needed. Your main event, your go-home segment for that episode was Jade Cargill standing tall. We've established that match. As we talked about on here before, there were a few matches we were saying they needed to get to. This episode of SmackDown accomplished setting those.
Yep, and now this week on Raw and SmackDown, they'll be able to finish up the big ones, and I think they definitely will. We also had another match kind of get itself lined up on SmackDown this week. Dragon Lee joined the LWO. Dom aligned with Legado del Fantasma. There's a tag team match set up at WrestleMania. You have Santos Escobar and Dom against Rey and Dragon Lee. Is this kind of just like a, you know, a retread from last year, or is this a good follow-up to what they did last year? Where are you at on that?
A little bit of both. I'm kind of surprised just because when you had the two sides lined up, you see that you could easily do faction against faction. I feel like we're going to wind up getting that with the Street Profits, Lashley, AOP, Karrion Kross situation, which we'll get to in a minute. But here, I'm starting to think the limited amount that we've seen Carlito wrestle, he might not be 100%. So they might not have the faith and confidence to put him into a match on there. It's clear that Legado, they have not really put a lot of steam behind the tag team. It's really just been Santos Escobar as the guy that they see being a major star. This feels a little bit like a reward for Dom. Dom has put in such incredible work this last year, and it's filtered into this really unique Judgment Day story that they are telling. You're sowing those seeds because Rhea Ripley obviously going up against Becky Lynch for the Raw Women's title. I don't know that she's necessarily going to retain. You've got the tag title situation, which, again, we'll talk about in just a moment here. But they've set up a multi-man ladder match where you can take those tag titles off of Judgment Day without having to beat Finn or Priest. And then Damian Priest's comment on SmackDown about, hey, we focus on our individual goals. He is still the Money in the Bank winner. And being able to remind people that that's still floating around there. And then Dom doing his own thing and Rhea going, like, none of us knew you were going to be here. It's giving you a number of segments that you can fill on a show, which from a creative standpoint is the dream. And these are telling a larger story, but it's Dom and Rey. You're getting Dragon Lee over as that next Rey Mysterio figure, which is something they critically want to be able to do. And it saves them having to not do another 8-man, 10-man tag match.
Yeah, I think, first of all, you know, not every match is going to be in the bright lights and last, cause it's WrestleMania. You want to like put your highest quality stuff on that show, but you can't like burn at like 100% for 4 straight hours. And I think this match kind of fills that spot on the card. Like it's going to be a solid match. It's not the match. I think they still have to do a singles match between Rey and Santos Escobar on a big stage. There's another match down the road with Dominic, I'm sure. But I think this is a good little holdover holdover for that. And it and I kind of like it because you're going to do that stuff with Bobby Lashley and the Karrion Kross faction. That's going to be, I think, more of your kind of faction warfare match on the show. And you know, you don't want to have necessarily two of the exact same kind of matches either. And so this differentiates that a little bit. So I'm fine with this for what it is. It's not going to be exactly like last year. It's close, but you know, it's okay for something in the middle of the card, right?
It's good. You're going to give a spotlight on Dragon Lee, which is something that you would lose in a multi-man match versus that AOP, Karrion Kross, Lashley, Street Profits situation. You can bring in B-Fab. You can bring in Scarlett if it's a no disqualification match where they can get involved in some form of physicality since B-Fab and Lashley were laid out without making it necessarily an intergender match. They've been talking potentially about it being a Philadelphia street fight, but that's also potentially coming from Meltzer, who at this point is batting around 30% correct. So he doesn't have Zach's integrity when it comes to accuracy, even on this April Fool's Day. Now, every day is April Fool's Day with half of Dave Meltzer's reporting of late, which is unfortunate. But there was other information that came out of SmackDown. We've filled in those last two spots in the SmackDown tag tournament that has been driving me crazy.
Man, New Catch Republic and Theory and Waller, they're advancing. My question for you for this is, do these two teams like live up to what that match is supposed to be in terms of like your premier tag teams going after the titles? Or is this just, well, we want to get these guys in the cards and they can bump around? Like, are they worthy of the spot?
New Catch Republic absolutely is. I think that they're showing last month demonstrated that. I think they have a lot of faith in Pete Dunne, who he suffered as being Butch for so long. This is something he absolutely earned. They feel like they belong in this match. You couldn't have Street Profits in there who are going to be doing their own thing. Couldn't have AOP in there because they're sort of paired off. You needed a spot for Waller in Theory, and they've definitely fallen back in the pack, which is okay. Not everybody needs to be front and center all the time. I thought they were potentially going to be involved in some sort of tag match with Cena and somebody in a spotlight situation. That does not seem to be the case. They're going to get an opportunity here to look impressive in the ladder match. I think they're going to be fine. They do come across to some degree as stars. I would have rather seen Pretty Deadly in that spot. I think those guys have really opened eyes over the last several months. They look great in there with Orton and Owens. They had a lot of momentum before the injury. I would have loved to have seen those guys as that last piece, but you're getting Waller and Theory on the show. It would have been weird if they were in the SmackDown Battle Royal or the Andre Battle Royal. So this doesn't offend me, but no, I wouldn't say that they are the tippy top 1A tag teams, but there's a lot of really strong teams that they accidentally built in WWE right now. So you guys know Vince is, you know, he's gone. He's dead and buried because we're promoting tag wrestling and there's about 10 strong tag teams.
Also on the show, we had Kevin Owens and Randy Orton tangle with Pretty Deadly, mainly an avenue to further the beef and the feud with Logan Paul. So it was kind of like a match to serve that angle. Did they do enough to kind of to do that, to solve that issue, but also, you know, get the match accomplished too?
Yeah, I think I don't love the fact that it's a triple threat match. I wanted to see one-on-one, whether it was Kevin Owens one-on-one with Logan Paul or it was going to be Orton one-on-one with Logan Paul. I get it, because then Kevin would be the odd man out with nothing to do. They found a way to insert him in there, and you're not directly having Owens and Orton go after one another. You've had miscommunications a couple weeks in a row. This one here, Randy, like, hey, what the hell happened? Not knowing what happened with Logan Paul. And at the end of the day, you know, Kevin Owens was lying flat on his back, and he did not look satisfied. But if you want your partner flat on her back and looking satisfied, can we recommend our friends at Blue Chew? See, I've been gone for a couple of days. It felt good to get back into the just seamless, because this episode is sponsored by our friends at Blue Chew. Let's talk about sex. Guys, remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Visit BlueChew.com. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra, Cialis, and Levitra, but in chewable tablets and at a fraction of the cost. You can take them anytime, day or night, so you can plan ahead or be ready whenever an opportunity arises. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. Best part, it's all done online. No visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. We saw that Logan Paul needed those brass knuckles to knock Kevin Owens out. You're going to knock your partner off her socks with one Blue Chew because Blue Chew wants to help you have better sex. Discover your options at BlueChew.com. Chew it and do it. And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code Rumor at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code Rumor to receive your first month free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring this episode of Rumor and Innuendo. Zach, I love that I first met you 20 minutes ago and we're already talking about Blue Chew. It's like we go way back.
Hey, man, you know what? Sometimes you need what you need. And that it's always good to hear those plugs on this show because it reminds me, hey, you know, you need what you need, my friend.
Guys, it's Mania Week. You know, I know, right? We're up and we're excited and we're amped, but you want that little extra to go with our friends at Blue Chew, promo code Rumor. And speaking of WrestleMania Week, today we start that with the go home edition of Raw.
And there's like a lot announced for tonight's show, but not a lot announced at the same time. Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell versus Ivy Nile and Maxine Dupri. That's one match. We got DIY.
Now, look at that's what you started with. I want to get the people really excited. You know what we got to talk about? This disaster of a Candice LeRae storyline. Put that front and center. This is going to put butts in seats for Mania, Zach.
You know what, man? Here's the thing. I was at the show last weekend. Last week, I was at the show at Raw, and that crowd wanted to eat everything that WWE was serving them on a platter. Here, take it. Eat it away, and they would.
One of the best crowds of all time, by the way.
Yeah, great crowd, but even this couldn't get over in front of that audience. And that is telling and kind of shows you exactly where this
I think you were saying that's telling, my friend, and you held back because you're like you're reserving the friend tag. I like it. I appreciate it, man.
We've already talked about sex, man. I mean, we're friends, period.
We're through the looking glass here, guys. But yeah, no, this Candace thing, I get we're trying to tell other stories with women. And I know that Becky Lynch, when she did an interview last week, said they need to focus on the women's division, not just being about the title. Candace being the shit disturber. I'm not cursed, but you know what? We can say shit disturber. You're fine. I've now said it three times. Last week, Dom talked about his cat's butthole. We're fine.
It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah, she's trying to stir stuff up, and it's clear that Indy is not thrilled about this. And this is something that's happened in real life and in tag wrestling, where one tag partner is kind of the jerk and the other person kind of suffers. And I'm not going to say what tag team this may be modeled after, the Dudley Boys, but they've turned this into a really fun version of that anonymous other tag team, the Dudley Boys, who had one guy that everybody really liked in the back and the other guy that drove everybody nuts. And they both were sort of married to this and it dragged them both down. So we will eventually get most likely a Candace Indy match, not at Mania, but somewhere down the road, and they'll have a reason for it. But there's other stuff, believe it or not, besides Candice LeRae on Raw.
Yeah, so now that we're done talking about the main event, The Rock and Roman Reigns both confirmed for the show. And they've got a lot to follow up on here. The big angle with Cody closed last week. They gave it, you know, obviously recap attention and promo attention on SmackDown, but that's it. They didn't like focus on any type of follow-up. So clearly we're going to get that here. Man, where do you think they need to put their time most with Roman and Rock on the show? The tag? Or do we need to see something go-home-esque between Cody and Roman?
This is the problem they've kind of put themselves into, is the Roman-Cody match is very much the afterthought. You can't really build to it directly because you don't know what the stipulation is. Also, it's the match that we saw last year, and we already told that story beautifully. That Cody Heyman promo from a year ago was an all-timer. That was such masterful storytelling that when they didn't pay off the finish of WrestleMania with the finish of the story, you were kind of like, it did such a disservice to that. By the way, go back. Brian Koppelman did an interview with Paul Heyman where they broke down how they constructed that. It is well worth your time to go and check that out. Friend of the show, Brian Koppelman. But I'm hoping he's still watching. But he's tuned in before. He's a good dude. Created Billions. Hell of a show. Anyway, the challenge that they have is that end of Raw last week. You had your moment. Rock standing there in the rain with Cody covered in blood. The weight belt for Mama Rhodes, you know, a crimson stained. It was a movie. You were done. I don't want to see them in the same ring at the same time. I don't want to see them talk. I don't want to see physicality. You as the audience are sold. My concern, Zach, is that they may want to try to further sow those seeds of, is there dissent between The Rock and Roman Reigns? That was what I took away from that Heyman blip on SmackDown with him trying to say this really cool thing that The Rock did. He did because Roman Reigns sent him to do it. You also don't want to do another cheesy pull apart where the locker room empties out and they're trying to separate these four guys to preserve the main event. I don't know what we're going to do, but it's Brooklyn. You're going to put Rock in front of that crowd, and I'm sure he's going to have a lot of fun tearing into them, but he has to toe this line of maintaining being a heel, because I don't know if you're aware of this, Zach. Philadelphia is a cesspool. It is a burning waste so close to the beautiful city of New York that these people are going to want to cheer The Rock and boo Cody. You got to keep everything, you know, in line. You want these people to be in favor of Cody Rhodes. The worst thing that can happen is Rock either looking really cool in Brooklyn and the fans hating Cody, or Seth talking in any capacity, because nobody wants to hear that.
Yeah, I think less is more here for sure. I agree with you on that. Like, you know, I don't think, like you said, you sold that match last week. I mean, that was kind of like your cherry on top, and it was definitive and it was really good, really well done and really effective. You know, so yeah, I think here the challenge is you got to get through this go home show by giving the audience and the fans something, because it's the go home show. So you don't want to like totally leave it, but you don't want to overdo it. You don't need to do too much. And so I think here, to your point, you just want to make everybody look strong. I think you want Cody to kind of show some fight, show that he's not beaten down. You want Rock to be a heel and be hated. And then you want Roman, same thing. And I think you want him to puff his chest a little bit as the alpha of the bloodline going into the weekend as the champion. To me, if you can do that, you know, mission accomplished, success, ride off to Philadelphia and go, you know, take care of business there. But I don't, like you, I don't need to see like a 20-minute Rock and Roman promo, because I think Rock just, you know, I think he has good intentions, but sometimes he does come off too cool. He does come off as like, you know, just a big, big star that people want to see. And I think going into this match, you want to limit that a little bit. You want him to be hated. You put a lot of equity into that last week, and you don't want to ruin that just, you know, just to have him out there.
It's why the Chicago reveal for The Rock was so effective, because he deprived you guys of the entertaining Rock promo. And that's why you all booed. But there was that whisper, and I'm just really worried. We had Blue Meanie on, and he was like, you know, in addition to doing this whole thing, was saying that he thought that for sure Rock and Cody have been aligned this whole time. I really hope that's not the case, because I think that significantly weakens Cody's victory on Sunday. But we got plenty of time to do WrestleMania predictions later, you know, later on in the week. We're gonna talk about that. But one thing that's not a prediction, it's a spoiler, is that Cody Rhodes is gonna be around for quite a while, Zach.
He is. He told Justin Waller that he's gonna be there past 40. You know, he had said he'd be retiring by 40, but also confirmed here he's gonna go. He went on a hot run a little bit later in his career. He told Justin, "I can tell you 40's out of the question, just because, not to give you a scoop, it was widely reported, but I did sign a new contract with WWE and extends beyond my 40th birthday." He says the plan is still, when it's time to step out without it being a painful process. He says, "Solely because I saw my dad as an old man wrestler, and he loved it and he enjoyed it. But as his son, it was hard to see. He says, as my daughter's 2 going on 3, there does have to be a time, just like he was with us, where I have to be home all the time and be there with her. It's not 40 anymore. I'll update the number. I hit the prime run late in the game. I often forget that I'm near at 40. So yeah, so Cody confirms here that he's going to be with WWE. No surprise there to me. I mean, like, no surprise. Cody, if you're WWE and you're 2 years ago and you're thinking about bringing Cody Rhodes in and you're thinking about, okay, well, like, what's the high end of what his impact will be on the company and on the business? I think what's happened with him is even higher than the high end that they could have expected when they signed him. I mean, it is hard for any babyface in WWE to really latch on and connect. He's been able to do that. He's really, I think, come into his own, you know, as a character, as a promo, as a guy that you can put the company on. And it's I think he's just a solid choice to follow up Roman. So it makes sense that you signed him for a long time. So this is all like, you know, it's news, but it's not, you know, huge, crazy news because he just figured it would happen. He's been too successful for them.
In AEW, he was a writer director in desperate need of an editor. In WWE, they have found a way to channel him. We have not gotten that Anthony Ogogo promo, the I cured racism promo. This is a guy who had all the tools to be successful. He was never used properly in WWE during his previous runs, but they also sort of had an embarrassment of riches and talent there. And in AEW, it's too siloed. He was never going to be able to get the vision of what he wants. WWE right now has this rare thing where he is a babyface who has connected both with the core audience and the young fan base. He sells a tremendous amount of merchandise. They put him on the video game. Kids love him. Adult wrestling fans love him. They respect what he does in the ring. They respect his promo skills. And he is a guy that you can absolutely build on. And having worked with Dusty Rhodes in those later years of his life when he was on creative, and he would tell me one day, he's like, I'm flying down your neck of the woods. I'm going to Davey. I'm like, why are you going to Davey? He's like, I'm wrestling Terry Funk tonight. Like, it's 2005. I don't know why but he loved it. And it's just, you felt bad. And he came back and he was definitely limping heavily. And it's like, you don't want guys to be in that position unless it's something that they love and that they're doing it versus this idea of they have to be doing it, because the last thing you want to see is a wrestler well past his prime who's out there tarnishing his legacy and reputation. But enough about Conrad's stepfather or father-in-law.
Here's the deal, though, with Cody. Like, I'm glad that he has that type of foresight to go, you know what? I'm going to want to be with my daughter. I'm going to want to be present at home. That doesn't mean he can't, you know, have a Roman Reigns type of schedule, or that doesn't mean he can't have, you know, something where he pops in, you know, every now and then for big matches. I mean, I don't think he's maybe necessarily positioned himself as that yet, but he's on his way. And so just because, you know, he talks about not being around, you know, in a few years, I still think that means you get a decent dose of Cody, even if he is going to pay attention to the family life. And I think it's healthy. I think that is a healthy perspective for a pro wrestler to have.
That's the dream of what you want. What you really want to be able to have is that work-life balance that you don't get when you are a younger wrestler. And in some degrees, nor should you. You know, you got to go after, you got to prove yourself. But the Roman Reigns model that some people want to malign, when he does show up, it feels important and special. He is still contributing. When he wrestles, those matches become big events. And even if Cody were to scale back and just do TVs, he's still there 52 weeks a year. He might not necessarily be on all the house shows.
Right.
And you're able to be home with your wife, with your kids. I said years ago, the guy who had the best kind of career that people should want was either a Matt Cardona or a Nick Nemeth. And unfortunately, we're not going to get to either one of those stories today because we have gone significantly over on time, but we will touch on those. But yeah, having that Roman schedule where you can earn it and get it is really, it's really important. And speaking of schedules, tomorrow, Tuesday, Dom will be back. He's currently on a train heading to Philadelphia, but tomorrow we're going to be joined by a special guest. Brad Baloukian, I've always mispronounced his name, and that's okay. He wrote a tremendous book called The Six Pack, which comes out tomorrow, about WrestleMania. The book is behind me on there. I'm pointing to it successfully. There it is. I read it. It's absolutely remarkable. It's going to be a hell of a lot of fun having him on tomorrow. But we are joined today by an upcoming author. So, Zach, where else can the fine folks keep an eye out for you in the coming weeks?
Man, thanks so much, Robert. Yeah, I mean, so you guys, I hope you guys like what we brought to the table today. It's been a pleasure to be here. You can check out more of my work at Brasserie Media, my own little, our own shop. We cover professional wrestling longer form. So we have a YouTube channel. You can search for us on YouTube, Brass Ring Media. We're live all throughout the week, Monday through Thursday, and over the weekend as well. You can also check out our written work on our Substack newsletter. Just search Brass Ring Media Substack in Google. You'll find it. We're the first ones there. And if you want to learn more about how you become a member of what we do and get a little heavier dose of the Brass Ring Media content from myself and my team, just go to Patreon, patreon.com/brassringmedia. All the free stuff is there too. And the paid stuff is there as well for our members. So check that out. Soon there'll be news about my book that comes out, Stunning, The Wrestling Artistry of Steve Austin, from the Hybrid Shoots and Jonathan Snowden shelf. So that's coming soon too. So more to come there. I'm really excited about it.
And guys, we will have Zach back on when that book comes out so we can talk about that. But right now, it's WrestleMania week. We are going to be here live every Monday through Friday at noon Eastern. You can catch us on the SE Scoops X account, the WWE Creative _ISH X account, the Dominic D'Angelo X account, Podcast Heat. Podcast Heat is who makes this show possible, as well as on YouTube on Rumor and Innuendo, and starting tomorrow again, the ad-free shows YouTube, because today we were bumped by that dastardly Jeff Jarrett. But we're happy you were here. Over 5,200 of you tuning in live right now at noon Eastern. More of you who listen to us wherever you get podcasts, whether that is on iTunes, Spotify, you name it. Go on there. Throw up a 5-star review. This is going to be a hell of a week. And as we promised, we are going to close the show with some Billy and the CW news here on April 1st. Oh, it's April 1st. We are not getting to Billy and the CW today. So on behalf of Zach, I'm Robert Karpeles. Best of luck in your future endeavors.